All of these words come to me during the class or during the my life. And I woke up with one the other day, with someone hugging me, who I hadn't seen in years, and I don't remember who it was. But she said, "It's so fragile." And while I was teaching just now, someone expressed to me that they feel helpless. And I had a visitor the other day, kept talking about faith and hope. And throughout this line, Deus ex machina, the idea that God comes through in the end, despite the narrative of the story, and saves the day. These are really interesting ideas, thoughts, words. Rudy once said to me or the class, he said, "The world is equally balanced between happiness and sadness." Probably would have added good and evil and everything else. But the happiness and sadness idea struck me. And he said, when there's a dominance of people experiencing unhappiness, the happiness has to have somewhere to go. So you might as well take it. And it may seem odd in a world that's so conflicted right now that you should be able to fill with happiness. But let me say, one, you can. Two, it's appropriate. Three, it's not for you. You may be a beneficiary of it, but really, the world needs happy people to spread the happiness. And if you can find it in yourself, if you can find the flow of happiness, which is an odd word, I like the deeper version of contentment, mellowness, okayness, but happiness is good. And that there is a place in all of us where it can reside, and it serves a very big purpose. It oils and juices the flow of life. And if you are able to be a participant in that oiling and juicing, caretaking, if you will, the flow of life, as I've said many times, one, you live in that environment so that you benefit, of course, but really everybody else does. And it's kind of an obligation, if you will, of spiritual seekers to serve and be the very thing that they are talking about, preaching about, reaching for, asking for, to find that space of joy and contentment and then emanate it out. Let it be part of the world. And even if you feel helpless at this moment in time, and I think in the larger world scheme, you probably are somewhat helpless. You can't go and fight wars. You can't go and help people in hospitals that are being bombed. I mean, you can't, I mean, you could, but to what end? But in the immediacy of the world, you can put out a level of kindness that you might not even expect. Blanche and I were in a diner the other night. It's just four people working in the diner. It was surprising. And while I was sitting there, I was directed, if you will, and I talk about this a lot, this sense of being told what to do. And I could argue it. I mean, everybody can argue it, but I just have stopped arguing. And it said, tip everyone. Tip all the workers. And there was a part of me that wondered about it for a moment, but nothing in me hesitated. And so at the end of the meal, I got up and went back into the kitchen and just handed tips to everybody working and to the waiters. And they were surprised, beyond surprised, kind of shocked. And I felt their gratitude. And I didn't take it as for me. I just felt I had done the right thing, even though my brain and mind kind of went, really? The deeper source was speaking, and I have learned or am learning to serve that. It did the same thing the next day with the gardeners who were here. You know, it's like I am asked to bring manifested help to the world. It's not a big deal. It's not a lot of stuff. It's just being present to the very thing that's in front of you and hearing something tell you how you can help it. Part of what's then also happening is all of these people are calling me or getting in touch with me with an incredible need. And if you think what's happening overseas is problematic, there's stuff happening all around us every day. There are all these people around us who we love and care about who have needs. And my understanding is, take it on. What do? You listen, you send love, you send care, you send attention, or you offer attention. And if you can do more, you do more. But the most important thing to do when you're helpless is help. It's amazing what it does. Help. You don't have to be helped by anything. I mean, you can ask for help. Rudy always talked about that. Ask for help, to surrender, to serve, to whatever it is you need help to do. But being helpless means you're not asking. You're not reaching, you're not getting, you're feeling lost and disconnected in some way, feeling fragile. Well, we're all fragile. Yeah, you know, we're all gonna leave this world in some way. And there's no escaping that, and never has been. But what do you do in order to embrace the fragility, to embrace all of the drama that's happening in your life, except ask for help in Rudy's terms, to surrender, take a breath, open your heart, feel the opening if you can, exhale a little bit, go down to your navel, take a breath, feel the opening of your intuitive knowing that goes way beyond your mind knowing, or incorporates the mind and the heart and the knowing, and you become a servant of this very thing that you are trying to get. You become the vessel through which it can operate in the world, because you asked for help, help comes, and then you deliver help. And it's an extraordinary gift. And if you want to feel good in life, happy, be a helper. Serve that part of the existence that really needs you. And sometimes you need help. So don't be afraid to ask for it wherever you need to go. You don't want to be squander your I need help, and call, you know, talk to everybody in the world. Not everybody in the world is able to help you. But if you really need help, first of all, go upward and ask. Call me and I'll go upward and I'll ask and I'll help you kind of redirect that energy into yourself. But it's really something that we all need to do on our own. It's our practice. It's the day-to-day Buddhistic, Hindu, Judeo-Christian practice of finding love and joy and the ability to care for the other. It is an amazing achievement, and it serves you better than anything you can imagine. You are the help. So all these people talk about hope and faith, because there is an essence of human experience that wants to believe something will happen in the future, probably. There is faith that something down the road will happen, or faith that what is happening now is meant to be, which is maybe the best faith, to believe and trust the unfolding of the moment. Don't hope for down the road. Don't try to project something into the ultimate future. Try to find the very thing you're looking for residing here and now within you. And the way you do that is you go inside and you discover that all you could hope for is residing there. It's kind of amazing. It's not in some future time event. It's really present now. And if you don't know that, it's just because you're not present. Because you're caught up in the news cycles of the day and the newspapers and the dramas in your life. God knows that's human and no criticism of it. But if you want real hope for life and you want real abilities to have faith in the world, go here, go inside and watch what happens when you take a breath. You know? It takes you in. It's like being an infant and hugged by your mom. And I've talked about that a lot, but that's what the feeling is, the embrace of a universe in which you are infantile, you are needy, you are incapable of knowing or understanding, but it loves you, and then it sends you back into manifested form, and it allows you to do and be in the world with its signature form of caretaking and help for everyone around you. It uses you, and you and being used are taken care of. It's the most beautiful, remarkable part of the human experience, that the thing you need is not waiting for you in the afterlife. It may be, but it's not about the afterlife. It's now. It's waiting for you now. And it's not hard to get to. Knock and it shall be open. Boom, boom, boom. Oh, wow. Wow. Truly, wow. And I am telling you this because that's what I'm experiencing. And I experience it much of the day, more and more than I ever have. And I have to say, the experiencing of this inexpressible, unknowable, beautiful, loving truth is perhaps the whole purpose for being. Or maybe it's the entire definition of being. I don't have a clarity anymore that can put it into any more context, which, you know, I can't say it's this way or that way or meant to do this or that. It's so quiet. It's so inclusive. It so embraces the being that you are and then turns you into this flower of odor and being and joy and deliciousness that you can put into the world. It just wants to use you. That's what it wants. We have a flower blooming behind us. I don't know if you can see it, but I love when flowers bloom. Blanche and I just get delighted by the arrival of flowers. They don't bloom for long, but boy, do they bring light and just this beautiful aroma into the home. And yesterday we had mushrooms blooming outside. I've never seen mushrooms like this. I had to take pictures because they were so incredible. And you know, for all I know, they're totally poisonous, but they are beautiful. They are beautiful. I'm not going to eat them, but I can look at them and admire them. The world is not always knowable, but it is the world. And there is a strange thing that goes on in this world that I do not understand. And it has to do with peace and war. It has to do with birth and death. It has to do with the fact that all of this amazing stuff has impermanence and finality. And we live in the midst of knowing that. And if you grab on to the dark side of it, if you grab on to the suffering, if you grab on to the sadness and the misery, fine. People do. They do it all the time. But if you're on a path where you can serve life, don't give in to that as your final state of being. Try to find this space that opens unto you and helps you care for everyone and everything, maybe up to the last second of your material existence. I don't know. My projection, you know, is that the welcome one gets in one's heart when one goes inside and asks for help is the same thing that probably comes when finality announces itself. We'll find out. I may be full of shit, you know, and that's not true. But it's a good way to live. I'll tell you that. It's a good way to live because every time I ask for help, it arrives. And when it doesn't arrive, it means either ask harder or figure it out on your own. And I have, you know, I've talked about this in the past. If nothing comes, if there's no directive, if you're not told turn right, turn left, it doesn't matter what you do. But when it does matter, you will be told. And trust me, if you're not listening or doing what you're told, it gets knotted up. It gets complicated. It gets difficult. Life gets really, you get lost. But it's not that hard to find your way back. You take a breath, ask for help, to surrender, to open, to be present. Try to find that space of you that is simply being. It's not being for you. It's not being as a thing that's trying to get a result. It's being because that's all there really is. Just go into this space of being and watch what it does. And I'm telling you, if you watch what it does, there's nothing like it. Just pure being is, it's like gratitude magnified 100 billion times. That's what it feels like. You don't know what to say or do. You don't know how to move forward other than to kind of prostrate yourself and go, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. That's what it feels like. And if it's not feeling like that for you, trust me, you can go there. You can go deeper. You can work harder. You can find your way into that space and be, one, a beneficiary of that space, but more than that, a transmitter of that to others. And that's all I'm trying to sell you at this point, because trying to get there to sort of avoid your suffering and to avoid world madness and to avoid all that stuff that's going on out there, yeah, that's a reason perhaps. But the better reason is because just being, just arriving at being and discovering what it means to serve being, or better than serve it, be it, just to be it in the world, is like proof that hope and faith and all of that stuff arises and settles and sits and is present in you now. It's there now. And if you don't know that, and if it's an intellectual thing that's coming at you and going, well, I wonder if he's right, and I don't know if I should believe that, and I don't really know what's right, and I got to work on this chakra, any of that mental stuff just gets in the way. So, calm it down, sit still, either be or ask for help to be, and then be, just be. Is it fragile? Yes. Is it infinite and eternal? Sure. Feels like that would be a nice solution and answer. I don't know. I don't know. But is it there now? Yes. Yes. Now. Immediately. In this space. And what happens in this class is that you take half an hour, 40 minutes, an hour out of your life, and you sit still for the possibility that this force, which Rudy called it a force, will come into you and turn things around so that you will finally get out of the way and surrender and go, yeah, let me do this. I'll do this. I'll be. It's worth it. If you're intellectualizing it and wondering what I'm saying and debating it, it just squanders. It just goes wherever it wants to go. Nothing comes about. But, you know, I met Rudy, whatever it is, 60 some years ago. I've been sitting a long time. I don't want to say it accrues or it gets better, because it's not like it wasn't there at the beginning, but it definitely reveals itself in greater and greater ways, kind of moment to moment. And all I can do is be a voice of that and tell you it is as much yours as mine. There's no reason in the world that this kid born in Detroit in 1943, very, very average, normal kind of character, should have contact with this. There's nothing distinctive about this person. This person just somehow got slammed into a larger awareness. Maybe that was a gift. It didn't feel like it exactly at the time, but my LSD trip at least showed me, boom, the world is not what it appears to be. the years of seeking were really important because I put myself into a place of saying, what is this, which is really not unimportant, and then beginning to hear what its answer was, and then beginning to be responsive to that. And we can all do that. And all you have to do is sit deeply enough, quietly enough to hear the answers, if you will, and to become the vessel of the response. And the response, because if you don't want to hear it from them, I'll tell it to you. Be a good person. Be a good person. Be nice. Be kind. Be loving. Be helpful. Reach out. Take care of people. Do what you can do. And when they come to you, and I use this phrase from Rudy many times before, you know, if it's in front of you, it's yours. And then I've changed that in the last series of talks to, if it's in front of you, it's God, which some people I think have a hard time with. And then I started saying, if it's in front of you, it's sacred. And then I was listening to a talk the other day, Leonard Bernstein talking about writing Candide, one of my favorite shows and plays. And it talks about Voltaire saying, "If all's for the best in the best of all possible worlds." And of course, what that meant is, you know, all the torture going on, all the misery, all the, you know, all the horror that was going on in the world, they were going, well, this is God's will. This is how it is, you know, da, 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 da. And I realized I don't want to come across as that person. I am not a Voltaire character. I'm not saying all is for the best in the best of this all possible worlds. I'm saying this world is good and evil, good and evil. And Rudy said, when the evil is, if you will, filling much of the space and people are gravitating toward that, there's an imbalance that you can serve by being good. When the sadness is taking over, be the happiness. It's not like you're rejecting what's happening in the world, you're serving it. You can be the happiness, you can be the goodness, you can be the very thing that everybody wants, including you. And by you finding it for yourself, you will become the source that will give it to others. So yes, we're living in difficult times. And yes, in a way, we're helpless. But the best correction for helplessness is helping. Try to figure out how to do that, and you will be a much happier human being, and you will find your way toward service in a way that is profound and ultimately, I think, blessed by the deeper parts of the universe that want to use us for that very thing. Thank you. You know, I had these, I told you at the beginning of, I had in the shower this morning, I had the picture of this on the soap formed a picture of these porpoises or whatever they're called. And told me to bring them down to this class. It made no sense to me and I really fought it, but then I thought, okay. And I had them up on my altar. So I brought them down and then nothing told me to use them at all, nothing. But I just want to say, I hold these up to you because the design on the seat in my shower said to me, think about these. Then a voice said, bring them downstairs and use them for the class. And I thought, this is ridiculous. Why would they do that? It's just a soap on the seat of the shower. And then something else said, just do it. So I have. I bring it before you to end this talk, I guess, although I thought I'd ended it. Because listening to the deeper thing in yourself is easier to do than debating whether it's true or not true or real or not real. Just get it, bring it, and let it be what it wants to be. I can tell you, it has energy. It loves to share this energy in every direction. It's very powerful. And luckily in the class, I don't need an instrument. I have this, I have this, I have these forces. They all come out. They're the instrument. In the end, the instrument, I am the instrument, and I'm just being played well, I think, by something. and find your way to enjoy the symphony or the concert or the piano that's playing out a series of chords that really touch your heart. It really loves you. It really loves you. And I got nothing to do with it except being a keyboard. Anyway, enough. Thank you again for being here. If there are any questions, I'm happy to try to answer them. Okay, Janice?
I just wanted to say, Bruce, thank you so much for today. And that symbol is a Dorje.
Oh, it's, Dorje, that's it. Thank you.
It's about compassion and wisdom. Like what you just said.
I know, you know, that word came to me this morning, Dorje, and then it disappeared. I will tell you, my communicative skills are disappearing as well. I don't know how much longer I'll be able to have a dialogue with all of you, but helping, thank you, by giving it a name, that helps me a lot, and I really appreciate it. But yeah, the Dorje, thank you. It really helped. I don't have everybody on the screen here. Is there anybody else? I'll switch screens for a minute. Okay, I don't see any hands. Okay, I love you all. Thank you for being here. Next week, New York in-person class. And you guys, if you are hungry to be part of the Zoom version of that, you're welcome to sign on. You know, it's not, it doesn't, it's, we're not getting, it's, I don't have too many screens being taken over, so it's fine. You're always welcome to come via Zoom. Okay. Have a great Sunday afternoon. Enjoy yourselves. Thank you so much for coming today.